All right, fight fans, welcome to Caveman Corner. Coming from Buffalo, New York, in my mom's basement, your host, Jeff Dentz.
All right, guys, how's it going? We're having a little difficulty. We got a new setup over here. We didn't figure out how to do the sound, but Ray's over here, and I'm kind of waiting. I'm getting tired, so we just started. We figured the music just sucks anyways.
Yeah, it's time to upgrade.
Yeah,
time to get better Mexican music.
Yeah, we're going to get some better Mexican music. Figure out how to run it through the system, and we'll be good to go. How you feeling, Ray?
Feeling good, man.
Yeah, you're looking good. How was that pizza you had today?
Oh, man, it was great, man.
I'm cutting weight. I'm, 14 pounds over right now, and Ray is sending me pictures of pizza.
Yeah, from Gino's New York Pizza.
Sounds good.
Guess who family owned that pizzeria?
I don't know. I'm going to think gangster knowing you, so... I don't know. Mr. Castricone?
Nope. It's not owned by an Italian. It's owned by Albanians.
Oh. There's only one I know.
Who's that?
That's got to be Ali's family then.
Yep.
I didn't know they owned that.
Yeah. Pizza's great.
And it's close to my house, too. I should eat there.
Yeah. They got their pizza's, good and it's not expensive.
No?
No.
Are they sponsoring you, Ray?
No, they not.
Oh. All right, let's stop talking about them.
Okay.
I went to Buffalo Cryo 2 days ago, Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was good. Dude, I felt great. It was the best I've ever felt after, getting any kind of therapy. There was no pain in my body. I went and I trained. Then when I was done training, I felt like I got hit by a truck. But I trained really hard, so I'm going to go back probably Wednesday or Thursday and then probably Friday, too.
Hey, Caveman, did you get punched in the nose recently?
I got punched in the nose a lot. I trained really hard on a Friday night after the Buffalo Cryo.
Oh, your nose look a little crooked.
Yeah, it always looks crooked. Maybe you just notice. We used to sit next to each other, so we looked in the same direction. Now we're looking at each other. It's a little bit more scary.
Two ugly dudes looking at each other.
Yeah. We need to get a woman co-host.
Yeah, we do.
Tracy Wilmore, what are you doing?
Hey, she's engaged, I heard.
Yeah, good for her. Did you ever buy t-shirts from her?
Listen.
Or the tickets?
Listen, we got to go to a game.
Yeah.
Let's go to a game.
All right.
I'll buy tickets for us.
Okay.
We got to check out the schedule. Did they start it yet, the season? I don't think so.
I don't know. It's too cold for women to be playing with no clothes on.
That's true. So, no, they
it's
got to
be a summertime thing. It's probably before football, right before training camp or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to go see her. Check her out.
Yeah. Man, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too. I'm still hungry. I weigh, okay, man. I went on the scale today at work at the little fitness center they got there, and I am 255 pounds.
God damn. That's big, dude.
That's heavyweight. That's like almost close to super heavyweight right there.
I was I just weighed myself after wrestling practice. I was 162.6 pounds.
Wow.
And then I took a poop, and I was a little bit heavier, so I think my scale might be a little messed up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I signed for 50 now. I went up from 45 to 50, so I have a catch weight at 150. I was going to fight 155 against that giant dude. Somebody fell on his leg and hurt him.
Now you're fighting a tough Canadian now, a tough white Canadian. Yeah. Canadians are tough dudes, man.
That's good, I guess. A jiu-jitsu guy, though, so the fight strategy is completely different. Instead of trying to take the guy down, now I'm going to try and stand with him on the feet. So
sprawn bra.
Yeah, I pretty much wasted all my training camp.
Get some leg kicks. He probably ain't going to be able to take you down.
Yeah, I'll show you videos after, actually. I have them on my phone, sort of.
Cool.
I just send them out to people, so I just...
Hey, Caveman, Brian Moore sent us a message.
Oh, yeah? What did Brian Moore say? He's a good guy.
We could do a bi-weekly or monthly show, Legend of the K show.
Dude, that is phenomenal. We are going to do
with a
that.
Legend, That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I still want to get Harold Howard.
We got to put in that work. We got to get him.
Yeah.
Go get him.
If we got to do 100 of them to get Harold Howard, let's do it.
Buy some Tim Horton coffee. He's Canadian.
Yeah, eh? Can talk about the Canadian guy I beat up, because by that time I already have beaten this guy up. Probably by the time I post this, I've already beaten this guy up. And if I lost, I probably will delete all of this. Dude looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, you can't lose to him. I'm sorry. If you lose to him, I'm going to make fun of you.
Yeah, I know you will.
I can't wait, man. I'm gonna be going to the fight. I'm gonna get a caveman shirt and get a ticket from you. And I'm off that weekend. I work this weekend, so you know it's gonna be cool. I'm gonna hang out with you after
good,
the fight.
Good, man. I'm getting a pizza after the fight for real. Yeah, I talked with Chris already. Fanduzzi Studio, Chris, and we're gonna get a pizza after the fight somewhere at the casino, hopefully.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so come get some pizza. Are you bringing your girl?
She got to work.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah, she got to work.
So. Unlucky me, because I would have meant another ticket. That's why I asked, really. Just peddling tickets.
Came in trying to push tickets down my throat.
I know. Tell her
to call off.
Yeah, tell her to call off. I only got 7 tickets left. If you take 2, that'll leave me 5.
And bring your son with you.
Yeah, bring your son, too. Buy him 4 tickets because he needs lots of seats so he can play by himself. So who we got on the show today, Ray?
Let me tell you about this guy, man. He's a UFC legend. I mean, MMA legend. You know, he did professional wrestling. He was in ECW. You seen that?
I did not see that.
He had a shoot.
I don't even know who you're talking about yet.
Oh, yeah. you know. You really know, though. You really know. Okay.
You wrecked our bit.
Caveman, you went to UFC 7, right?
I did go to UFC 7.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And
Harold Howard was there.
Yep.
Is this Harold Howard?
Nope.
Oh.
Who else was there? Mark Hall was there, right?
Mark Hall was there. Marco Huas was there. He landed some thundering leg kicks.
Okay. We got the polar bear, Par Barlins here.
Oh, man. He was like the bully of the UFC, you know, that just the giant kid. Wasn't really that great, but he was tough as balls, dude. He never quit.
Tough, man. Tough. He fought a lot of the tough Dan the Beast Severance, and he fought Igor Vincenzian.
Didn't some guy choke him out with his own t-shirt, though?
I don't know. We got to ask him.
Yeah. I think I remember that. It might be some other tall guy, though.
It might be.
Mark Hall, maybe? No, it wasn't Mark Hall.
No.
Oh, Jerry Bolander. But I think that was Scott Ferozzo. I'm thinking Scott Ferozzo, the fat guy, not the polar bear.
Right, Scott Ferozzo. I got him on Facebook. I'm going to try to get him on here, too.
Yeah, I got him on Facebook, too. That's why I'm talking some junk so I could tag him in this.
And then this guy sent me a friend request. Remember, what's his name, Joe, Ghetto Joe?
Yeah, Charles? Joe Charles?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd be awesome to have on.
You want
to
get him?
Yeah,
He sent me a friend request, and I'm going to probably send him a message saying if he want
to
come
Joe in. Joe Charles is like the guy that always made it to the semifinals. He was like really good. He just couldn't beat the elites, you know?
He was like a judo, right?
Yeah, he was really good. He was a good fighter too, man. He fought a lot of good guys.
We got to get him on then.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him
on. I have a lot of respect for him.
Ready to get this
interview going? Yeah, let's get the polar bear on. Maybe he'll break our phone system.
All right. Okay, fight fans, we got the polar bear, Par Barlins here.
Par Barlins, the polar bear, giant. We were just talking about you on the show, man. I didn't know Ray was going to be able to get you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man. I'm just chilling up here in Alaska, just keeping out of the 30 below, you know?
Jesus Christ, I wouldn't want to be there at all. That sounds way too cold for me.
It is fucking cold, bro.
So, what do you think about...
Do I have to watch my language? Do I need to watch my language?
No, you say whatever you want to say, man. We don't give no shits around here. You say whatever you want. Right. Everything you got is good with us.
All right, cool.
We just had the UFC on the other day, and back in the day, there was no weight classes for you. We saw that Romero miss weight. What do you think about guys that miss weight?
Well, you know, number one, with the weight classes, to me, well, it's kind of a sore spot, and I'll get around to that. But if you're going to have a rule, it needs to be a fucking rule. It needs to be like, hey, you don't make it, you don't make it. It can't be, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of having a weight class that you can miss? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, I mean, what is the point exactly? And it riles me up because when they came in with these weight classes, they basically gave me a middle finger and said, you know, hey, Barlins, you know, you helped start this thing, but we're going to close the door on you here. Because 265... Man, I had made 275 in high school. It was a nightmare. I'm running with the baggies on, spitting. I mean, I'd have to cut off a fucking leg. And my cock's close, but that wouldn't even do it. So it'd have to be an actual leg. And, you know, it was a ball breaker for me. It was because, you know, like, fuck, man. Like, how do you not have an open weight class? How do you not have a, an opportunity for everybody to participate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that kind of put Tim Sylvia out of there too. I mean, what's he going to do now? He's a huge guy. He's got a pretty decent name, and he's really pushed out of the UFC as well. And I'm sure there's other huge guys. Bob Sapp comes to mind. I mean,
honestly, like Dana White, I wonder what is up with him, because like he hated on any big-bodied dudes, like Big Country. He fucking hated him. He didn't even hide it. You know what I mean? Like. He's fucking. He likes oiled up fucking, you know, bodybuilder boys for some reason. You
like Vince McMahon.
I'm not hating on these guys in great shape, but hey, not everybody's a you know, Calvin Klein model, you know, and they could fight, you know.
Ray definitely feels you right there.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. I feel you.
You know. So I mean, so what you know, besides what happened with me. I come back and I look and say, okay, you got these serious weight classes, right? Oh, no. Well, you didn't make weight, but yeah, but you can still fight. Like, what is this shit? Like, if you're going to be a serious sport, you got rules and you enforce the rules, you know? Like, you know, like, it just pisses me off, you know? And I mean, of course, I want to see the fight, but like, then, you know, I mean, that's why you have an open weight class. You pop it to the open division. Say this guy doesn't make weight. You say, well, hey, do you want to challenge me for the open belt, you know? And then, boom, you pop up to it. I mean, you gotta have some consistency. It's that's where I'm on that one for sure.
I feel you. My guy missed weight last fight, too, and they wouldn't even make him make weight. They're like, he looks too dehydrated to even try and cut the weight. So either you take it at this weight or there's no fight.
That's a game. Yeah, that's like politics and games. I mean, honestly, my feelings on the way things are run is I really think like a lot of these guys think that honestly, I'm just gonna come out with it. Dana thinks he's the UFC. Dana thinks that his matchmaking and who he wants to pump up is what makes the UFC the UFC. I don't think in his heart of hearts he thinks that the fighters, all of the fighters, like from the bottom to the top, are the ones that make the UFC, and the fans make the UFC. That's what the UFC is at the heart of it. But I swear, man, you know, you're going out buying brand new Jaguars or brand new car every week and then saying, oh, we can't afford to pay these guys, right? I mean, come the fuck on. It's just, you know, it's just ain't right.
What do you think about the Reebok deal?
I'm like, what are the particulars? I'm not even sure right now. One of the things that's in my craw right now is that the UFC won't guys like have sponsors. Like, yeah. The only way you can have a sponsor is UFC gets paid first. Like, that is illegal. Okay, because if a party wants to pay a party money to represent them, they got every right in the world to do that. For the UFC to step in and say you can't get paid unless we get paid for this, and the third party doesn't want to pay the UFC, doesn't want to say, hey, you know, we're behind this fighter, but you know, that's like, there's, that's actually against the law. Okay, like look at it in this way, and then I looked this shit up. If you're, say, a farmer, if you're a farmer and you want to plant something other than weed on your land, you've paid the person for the right to be on the land.
Did you say
the right to be there?
Did you say weed or wheat?
Wheat.
All right. I was going to say the government comes shut you down for your weed.
That'd be a good point, though. Is that, like, if you want to grow another thing on your land, on the land you've rented, that's going to make you more money. You have the right to do that. You have the right to make the most of your opportunity. And for the landlord to come in and say, no, you got to grow just this wheat, instead of, say, you know, almonds or, you know, something that's much more money, that's illegal. That really is, like, that's case law. And for the UFC to intervene for a fighter to make his own money, that's called diminishment of enrichment. That's legal shit right there. That's for real. And so they've got this monopoly mindset where the any kind of competition they're gonna buy up, nobody can do good but them. And that shit is illegal, bro. Somebody just needs to get a decent lawyer and take their ass on. You know, and actually there has been. I think GSP got bought out. I think there's been a lot of good suits. That the UFC said, okay, keep it quiet. We're going to pay you off. And hey, you, enough money. I get it.
I know one of the fighters, Chung Lee, right? Kung Lee.
Kung Lee.
Kung Lee.
You're racist against Asians, Ray. My wife's Asians. That's not very cool.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ray. Finish your thought. He's still laughing here. He can't.
Oh yeah,
talk.
He got a lawsuit going on against the UFC.
I mean, there's plenty of room for it because the way they do business isn't right. Okay, in contract law, another major baseline idea is when you enter into a contract with somebody, there's supposed to be equity. Both parties are supposed to get a fair shake. And if a deal is so bad that you're like, hey, you know what? I'm getting like $4 billion and you're getting $10,000. That can be struck down in court like that. Boom. Any judge would say, yeah, there's no equity in this deal. That's out the window. And that's what the UFC has been doing to fighters and, you know, forever. Like even back when I was doing it, when this SCG was doing it, they were sending me contracts and I'd be like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I go, this is illegal. I'll sign it anyway, but because you have a contract, doesn't make it legal. Like, for instance, if we show up a contract and the contract says, hey, I'm going to let you shoot me for $5,000. I sign the contract. Here we go. We got a contract between us. You shoot me, I'll give you $5,000. That's illegal. It's murder. You can't do it. Just because it's on a contract doesn't make it legal. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but we still got to pay it $5,000 and then go to jail.
Well, yeah, you better pay the money, but well, bottom line is, you know, somebody's going to jail and the contract doesn't mean shit. So basically these contracts the UFC's forcing people into and telling them, no, you can't have sponsorship. That's illegal as fuck. Okay? Here's the thing, and this is what's most, like, evil about it, is that they know that these guys love the sport. They love it. And the UFC's like the top of the hill. It's the holy land. And they'll do anything to get there. So they know they've got the toy. They've got the treat. And they're like, here, little doggy, here, get your little treat. While they're just raking it in. They're raking it in, and they're just taking advantage of every single motherfucker that steps up. And it's just bullshit.
Yeah, the Reebok deal, UFC got a big lump sum, and then the fighters get, depending on how many fights, it's from $1,500 to $10,000 per fight for the sponsors. Which is probably
made billions. They made billions of dollars. Billions. Yeah. There's no equity in it at all.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good deal for any of the fighters that had any decent sponsors.
So your best bet is to go to another organization, right?
Yeah, Bellator. Yeah. That's the only other place to go.
What the MMA fighters need is their own union. They need a fighters union.
Brian Moore for president.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, eventually he's working his way there. You know, he's be the right guy to do it because he truly does love the sport. He truly does love fighters and people. He's really like one of these few people you'll ever meet that he's truly like out for everybody. You know what I mean? Like he's really a good guy. And I don't say that on people. I don't like people that much. He's honestly.
Yeah,
he's like one of the few good ones, you know?
We've had him on a show a couple of times, and he's been great to us as well. He's hooked us up with Fighters Interview. I mean, that's how we pretty much got in touch with you, too.
Yeah.
Honestly.
If he tells you he's going to do something, bro, he's going to do it. And that's cool. I mean, part of the reason why I love the MMA so much is I like to beat the fuck out of some assholes. You know, that's what I love the most about it is, you know, I got paid, not that great, but you know, I got paid to do what I go to jail for on the streets.
Hey, you did ECW before, and how much you get paid for that?
It was okay. Like I was getting like I'm just to discuss specifics, but it was keeping me going in between fights. That's the reason why I ended up doing it. And I actually before the UFC, I was wanting to do pro wrestling. Like I wanted to pro wrestle so bad in the early 90s, and I was in the Bay Area, and there wasn't any like schools, real schools or anything out there. And I just was not, you know, I was trying to make contacts and everybody wanted a shitload of money for me to go to their school. And I was like, it just wasn't happening. And that's when I stumbled into the UFC thing. And I'm thank God I did. Cause I love my fighting days. But after doing some UFCs, getting some name together, I got approached by Paulie Heyman, whatever his name is.
Paul Heyman.
With the ECW.
Yep.
Yeah. He said, hey, come on out here, beat up some of our guys, we'll pay you, you know, some money, and I could use the money at the time. And I ended up making good friends with Missy Hyatt, and I just get to bone her for a while. It's pretty cool. And that's back when she's on the top of her game, before she jacked herself up on the fucking, on the goddamn, man, poor thing. She just fucked herself up with plastic surgery, man. Yeah. She was so hot.
Yeah, I hate when girls mess up.
I was there, she was at her apex, dude. She was so fun. And then she started doing more and more surgeries and shit. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, it's all good now, though. Yes, I did, like, the ECW Hardcore Heaven. And, you know, I actually, the match with Taz, I'm actually really proud of him, because, I sold that shit. Taz comes to my fucking waist. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, little dude.
He's like 5'9".
And I fucking... And I made it look good. I made the match look good. And I gave him a little they got the cheat victory with his buddy coming in from the outside. And, you know, it was fun. It was fun to do that stuff. And like I said, Missy Hyatt was a whole lot of fun at the time. So I didn't know she was so madly in love with me, though, because, like, she wrote a book, like, a couple years back. And, man, she was pissed off. She was talking all kinds of shit. I must have really left a mark on her.
I hope not.
You
don't
get that angry when you miss something.
Once you go polar bear, you don't go back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, man. Shutting down a studio.
And then it'd be just a snack, you know?
Were you ever classically trained in pro wrestling, or did they just throw you in a ring as you were?
We did a little bit of work before the big show, the Hardcore Heaven. But the rest of them, I just kind of walked in and just kind of threw the guys around. I did some training at the Sportatorium in Texas with a couple pro wrestlers. Like, when I first started fighting and I was out there, I was in Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth area. And that's where the Sportatorium is. And a couple of guys at the gym, I was out of pro wrestlers, and they were training there. So I went out there with them, and we worked on some chops and stuff. So it wasn't like, I mean, I knew how to move in the ring. I knew how to move with the guy. But the big thing with pro wrestling is the bigger you're going for stuff, you really need to work on it with the other guy a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you really, there's some basic stuff that we all know and stuff, but, you know, if you're going to go for big things, you got to really kind of, you know, put a little bit of time in it. And with me being as big as I am, it was really, I mean, it was challenging with Taz. You know what I mean? Like, I had to bend over for him so he could grab me, you know? Like, but I'm proud of it. I'm actually proud of it. I sold that shit. So
a lot of people say they took more damage in pro wrestling than fighting. What do you think about that?
No, for sure, man. I mean, look at it. You know, okay, here, you know, honestly, I would say, in a way, pro wrestling, and depending on how you do it, if you're a high flyer and you're hitting the outside of the ring and shit, that's definitely more damaging. And think about this too, like, in fighting, you're trying to avoid the damage. Like, you're not trying to hurt yourself. In pro wrestling, you're fucking, yeah, hey, we're gonna do this headbutt off the ground, you're gonna do a backflip off this chair with the peg sticking up, and they do it. You know what I mean? They fucking go, okay, yeah, we're going to get hit with a bat in it that's got little, you know, nails or tacks in it. I mean, that's like, it's basically saying, I'm going in here to hurt myself. I hurt myself pretty heavy duty. That's a different mindset. Well, let me give you an example. This is a really good example. When you get knocked out, you know, if you see somebody knocked out, you know how you know it's a legitimate knockout? Their hands drop to their sides and they fall face first. If they're not really knocked out, the hands will come up to cover their face. You can't fall face forward with your hands at your side. And that's just an instinctual, we instinctually want to protect ourselves. So what pro wrestlers are doing, these guys that are doing especially, oh God, what was his name? Mankind, whatever. the fucking damage they're choosing to do to themselves. That's kind of fucking crazy, man, because it's going against your preservation instinct. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take my hats off to those guys. Like,
oh, man.
It is, and even doing bumps off the ropes, dude, that shit hurts. I did that shit.
Did you see?
It's a steel table, and you bounce off that shit. You got to get used to that, man.
Hell yeah. Did you see Mankind flying off the cage and the table?
Yeah, oh, fuck, dude. Off the cage into tables, onto the concrete ground with his forehead. I mean, that's, dude, that shit hurts. I mean, you know, don't, I mean, it's hard to explain what the difference is. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not real, but you got to be, okay, you know what, here's the deal. Let me break it down for you. The difference between modern UFC and the original UFC is we had to fight three times in one night. That meant that the first fight, you're going to have some injuries. You got to be mentally strong enough to come back after 10, 15 minutes to another fight with those injuries, deal with it, fight again. If you win, you got even more fucking injuries. So by the time you're fighting the third time of the night, you're a fucking piece of chopped up meat. You're just hoping the other guy's as fucked up as you are. That's different than MMA today. One fight is a lot mentally easier. It is. Okay. It just fucking is. They're great trained athletes. What they're doing is hardcore, but it's not the kind of mental challenge that the tournament was. Okay. It's a different animal. Now you look at pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is basically that same kind of challenge where, you know, they figured out who's going to win already. But they've decided, I'm going to hurt myself here. I'm going to hurt myself there. I'm going to keep going and hurt myself. And that's pretty hardcore, okay? Where it may not be a real fight, God, it's really fucking tough. You know what I mean?
I believe it. That sounds crazy. I mean, literally, it sounds crazy. And I'm a fighter, so I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that.
Right. You know what I mean? Like I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I would much rather go into a fight than go into something where you stand toe-to-toe with the guy and you take turns punching each other. I mean, I've done it before and all, but I wouldn't want to do it against the best in the world because it's like, fuck, you sit there and wait for the thing coming, you know what I mean? And you may not get that. You know what I mean? It's something about time and dealing with pain. Knowing pain's coming, knowing you got to deal with it. I know this for a fact. If there was still tournaments in the UFC, I wouldn't step over a fucking MMA fighter everywhere I go. Okay. there'd be a lot less people doing it. You know, I'm glad it's the sport that it is now. You know, nothing's perfect, but you know, is it better or are we better, whatever? It's not a matter of better or worse or whatever. It's a matter of just different. It's just so different, you know?
It's not even the same sport. I started fighting in 95 and I'm still fighting today. It's just a totally different sport. It's not the same at all. It's now it is a sport. Yeah. It's not a fight anymore. That's kind of how I look at it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I would say that the women of MMA right now are a lot closer to the mindset and the intensity level of the old school MMA. I'd say almost all the women that I've seen fight could do tournaments because they're so single-minded. They're so focused, so intense. I love watching the women fight. The women fucking bring it like it's personal. Like it's some shit. You fucked my man. I'm going to fuck you up. It's just, you know, it's like seriously personal. And I mean, it's you know, you guys watch football?
Yes, sir. Ray likes the lingerie league.
Okay. Well, you know how the college is a little bit more exciting because they get that school pride and they bring that kind of intensity, that crazy intensity to it. Where the pros, they're fucking, it's awesome, but they're reserved. They're pro. They play pro. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a personal like thing.
Right.
And that's why the difference between the women's MMA and the men's MMA is the women's is just fucking.
They just go hard.
It's on. Like I wouldn't if back in the day if they had a girl who was 6'8", 350 pounds and she wanted to go at it with me, I would have reconsidered.
You can fight Gabby Garcia.
You know?
she's pretty big.
Well, you know, here's an amazing thing I think that MMA MMA's brought so much to our society in the time that it's been around. Like we've MMA's left its mark in our society so deeply now. Like I hear every day from absolute people who don't even know what MMA is saying things like, oh yeah, I'm gonna tap out. I'm gonna tap out. They use words like tap out or just you know what I mean? Like, and they don't even know what the fuck they're saying. But it's worked its way into the lexicon of our speaking. And you know, like, oh, I'm up against the fence on this. And just little things like, wow, man, it's like I'm kind of proud. I've had a hand in really creating something that's culturally, you know, changed the face of our nation, you know, and across the world, you know. I think the women's MMA has raised women's stature, ability level. My view of them, as now I see women as able to be as strong and as great a fighters as men. I really do. Like, for the first time in a sport, and before women's MMA, I always felt like, well, I didn't feel like it. It was true. Women didn't throw as hard. Women didn't run as hard. Women couldn't do the same things. They couldn't. But now with women's MMA, those women have proven that they can be just as hard, just as fast, throw just as strong, and there's no more cop out. And it's like, wow, like, which came first? Did the women change, or did the mind change? Did the mind change, and now the women changed? It's kind of interesting if you think about it.
Yeah, that's great. Huge prop for women's MMA. Big proponent of women's MMA. We had a lot of good women's fighters on as well.
Yeah, they tough.
They are tough.
They go hard. Hey, Polar Bear, let me ask you this. Yeah. In your early UFC career, right, you had some losses.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And them losses and them fights you had, if you could fight one of them guys right now, who would it be?
Well, it's funny. I don't have any problem with my losses because I never tapped out. I was only choked out once by Dan Severn, and that's okay because I wasn't really prepared for that fight. I used to have a real hard-on for getting a rematch with Tank. I really wanted to rematch with Tank, but I've seen him recently, and he looks like such an old man now. He just looks like a little old dude who's like, I mean, they really, somebody let the air out of his tire, man. I mean, he is just normal as shit. So, I mean, I really don't have any motivation there anymore. You know, I'm kind of past it on the fighting thing. Like, now I'm like more mental, man. Let's get into it mentally. Let's put the words down. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. And if I have to, but here's what's funny is I'm more dangerous now than I ever was when I was a fighter, because I'm too fat, too old to fuck around. I used to carry people and be worried about, oh, I don't want to hurt them. Now it's like, I'm going to finish this shit ugly and quick because I ain't got the wind to be fucking around for 5 minutes. So
do you train now? Are you actively training anywhere or?
No, I actually hurt my back at work, and I'm like just getting back to the pool to kind of get myself back into shape. So I'm big as fuck right now. I'm like 400 plus pounds.
Wow. Holy jeez. You're going to have to go on Biggest Loser.
I'm 6'8". It's not like, I don't look like, you know, I'm not roly-poly, but I'm just big as fuck.
Did you see Rulon Gardner on Biggest Loser?
Oh, I'm not that big. Fuck, no.
We need to get you, like, fattened up and get you on Biggest Loser because you have a great personality, man. I think that would be a great show.
He'd be great for TV.
I know. You'd be great for TV.
Do they still have that show?
I don't know. I don't really watch TV, but.
Yeah, I ain't watched TV in a minute, but. But you'll be good for the show.
Yeah,
like
I'm actually
that.
Not. I'm wanting to do my own podcast. I'm thinking about, you know, doing a little podcast and maybe trying to get to radio because I do like I can fucking jaw. You might know that by now.
Yeah. This interview is much better than I thought it was going to be because I have this image of you as just Paul Varlin, the fighter with blood streaming down your face, just being insane and trying to beat the shit out of people, and like really, you're a pretty articulate guy.
Time and place, bro. Time and place. Like when you know what I mean. Like every, you know, every place has a mindset, and if when you can modulate that, that's success. You know what I'm saying? That's like, I mean, I was surprised. Okay, when I did my first UFC, UFC 6, like that was a little bit crazy, man. I remember I headbutted that camera.
Yeah, I do.
And the fucking headbutt of the camera, dude. Like that's the polar bear. That's a part of me, but that's a part of me for a certain place in time. You know what I mean? Like, if my life is in danger, if there's a fight on, then this, you know, the polar bear comes out. But when it's not that time, there's Paul. You know, Paul's here, and I try to, and I, you know, I don't know how many fucking times I've warned motherfuckers, like, dude, once the polar bear's here, you're not gonna have Paul. Paul's not an option. You can't switch back. Polar Bear's going to be here till Polar Bear's done. So if you fucking got to do this, I'm warning you now, I'll say goodbye. and that's just the way, that's how it works for me. You know what I mean? That's how it works for me. And
that's the difference in mentality between today's fighters and yesteryear guys. I mean, when you watch the guys now, they're so professional about it. They're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They have the whole route of the fight, right, like, just figured out. They're all like these high-level technicians. This is a different kind of sport now.
Well, it is. It is. And I didn't see the Romero Rockhold fight, but I was watching the pre-fight stuff and like learning about those guys. I was giving the fight to Rockhold if he could contain Romero, you know, if he could contain that fucking that ferocity, but Rockhold couldn't contain it. Bottom line, I didn't see the fight, but from what I saw, you know, he came around those big. Did you guys watch the fight?
I did, yes. Ray doesn't watch anything.
Okay.
Just Facebook highlights.
From what I saw, he was throwing those big haymakers and kind of come at it in a very unorthodox style. And that's a very dangerous and a useful tool, but it can be dangerous too. Like you can, if Rockhold would have went up the middle tight with some serious jabs and uppercuts, if you would have done the rope weave, you know, bobbing and uppercutting with some serious power, he could have handled that. That was doable.
Rockhold stood
straight up and down and was like, here, hit me in the fucking head. You can't stand up straight and down to the haymakers.
Yeah,
you know?
Romero started out, like, the whole first round, he was like, he kind of conserved his energy. He didn't really do a lot. And then he exploded and he rocked him at the end of the first round. And then the second round, it wasn't like he recovered. It looked like Rockhold didn't really recover. It was just kind of like a crazy fight. He's so explosive, man. He's one person I wouldn't want to fight.
Who, Romero?
Romero. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that guy is, what, 40 years old?
Yeah, he's a badass. The only holes I see in him are he's really emotional. He's like one of these emotional gangster types.
He was kissing Rockhold after the fight. It was gross. He kissed Rockhold after the fight like three times. It was weird.
Well, that's the whole Latin emotion thing. You know what I mean? It's very, it can be very positive, but also if you get cornered and things get real tough, it can fucking fall out from underneath you too.
Wait,
I don't know. I haven't seen that happen to him yet, but I don't know. I'm into the philosophy of a lot of shit, you know, when I'm looking at fights. Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know. I need to see the fight before I talk more about it. I'm talking too much shit without even seeing it.
Caveman said that Romero was kissing him. Yeah. Did he kiss him in the lips, Caveman?
That's a Cuban face. South American thing, man. That's all good, you know. That's just passion. Really, crying, kissing, all that shit. That's part of being fucking intense, you know. That's, you know, any champion who's won something that they worked fucking hard for, they're going to cry, man, you know?
Yeah, he crapped himself, too.
It's just a Latin American thing, you know?
Yeah, he had the Mickey thing. He pooped himself in a fight once, too. That was got to be pretty embarrassing. We had Romero did, and then we have this other guy, Mickey. He's on our team. He pooped himself.
Yeah, we got
this
guy, and we make fun of him all the time. He pooped on himself.
Crapped himself? Yeah, yeah. He don't want to do that.
He had these white, tight fight shorts. And you see, like, a big brown spot. Everybody was laughing.
That's not passionate at all. Nobody wants that. But then again, I mean, if you crap yourself, the other guy probably doesn't want to touch you. He'll give you an advantage.
I don't know. That dude was still playing in Mickey's guard the whole time. He kept taking Mickey down.
He must like the doo-doo.
Everybody can see he got the crap beat out of him.
Yeah, he literally got the crap beat out of him.
You were cruel that way, you know?
All right, to get to even more uncomfortable subject, I got to ask you about your fight with Marco Huas. I was there in UFC 7 because it was in Buffalo. I lived here my whole life. And those leg kicks he's hitting you with, man, that was the loudest I've ever heard a leg kick in my whole life. I mean, when you listen
Wait, K-Man, was this louder than my leg kicks?
It's way louder than your leg kicks.
Oh, damn.
And they were, like, thudding. I always thought, like, when you listen to UFC, like, they just pump that sound into the TV. And, like, they're so close. But I was poor as fuck. I was way up in oranges, and I could hear it just echoing through the stadium.
Sounded like a sledgehammer hitting a side of beef, basically.
And you took like so
and
many.
It
of those.
Felt pretty shitty too. It felt pretty shitty too. But you know, the funny thing is that I was sick as a dog in that tournament. I had 103 degree temperature, sick as shit. And the only thing that was really keeping me going, honestly, I was running out of energy after the first fights, was every time he hit me, I'd fucking get me going again. I'd be like pissed off because of the pain. But, you know, it was a matter of time before I couldn't stand on that leg. And it was a, you know, it was one of the best old school fights. I think we're in the top 10 of the old school fights all time. And, you know, the thing that I don't hold it against him, because literally there was no rule against it at the time. But the fact of the matter is when I got that reverse naked choke on him and I got him up in the air, that would have been it. Except for he was greased up like a fucking pig, dude. He was so oily. He sprayed himself down with baby oil, let it dry, and then we started fighting. The shit got so slippery, it was insane.
It looked like it too. Every time he fights, he was always glistening.
Yeah, it was like, seriously, it was baby oil. And so when I got him up there, I couldn't keep his head. If he wasn't oiled up, man, I would have rolled over the top and came up in Superior. And I was so like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, I had it locked around his head, but I couldn't get it. I felt his head popping out, and I was like, fuck.
And then,
and
your fight with him, it was the first time everybody saw the foot stumps.
Yeah, there was the foot stump thing. And here's, you know this, that after that UFC, because I was reaching over the octagon, they raised up the octagon like 6 inches, you know that?
Damn. I can't reach the octagon. That's awesome.
They made the octagon bigger just for the polar bear.
They have to. I mean, you're a giant fucking dude.
How many people can say that, you know?
Yeah. I got another question, actually, that I've always wondered. I was always a smaller guy, like, when I started fighting. Like, Hoist Gracie was my hero. But you have to be a hero to a whole generation of the bigger guys. Do you feel any responsibility to that? Have you ever heard about that? Like, the big guys, like, yeah, I can fight, too. These little guys don't have to win.
Well, you know, I mean, anybody that I've made their life any better watching me do what I do, if they've enjoyed what I've done, then that makes me very happy. Because life can be real downer. It can be real bummer. And if you can make anybody's life a little bit better for any amount of period of time, then you're doing God's work. You know what I mean? And I'm not a religious guy, but I'm proud to have touched people and motivated people and lifted them up a little bit. That's just all good. That's all gravy.
I have a kid in my kid's class, and I actually referred him to watch some of your fights, too. He's this big kid. He's 12. He's taller than me. He weighs more than me. He's probably like 225, 230. He's got to be like 6'2", 6'3", and he's just getting bigger. He's in the class with me, and like, he has to be careful not to hurt people all the time. I'm like, maybe it's okay, man. You can let loose a little bit, you know, and you're a good example for that.
You got to modify. You got to modify when you're that size, man. The bigger you get, the more you got to modify. And yeah, when you're working with people, you got to be real careful because, you know, yeah. But here's the hard thing is when you get bigger than everybody and you start to like lighten up because you don't want to hurt people, we train the way we fight the way we train. So if you fight light, if you train light, you can't help it. You've got muscle memory going against you. You go into the fight and it takes you a while to get more aggressive. And that was one of my problems when I was fighting is I didn't start gangbusters most of the time. Most of the time, I started real tentative, and then I'd like get hit, I get pissed, and boom, okay, we're doing this. And so, I mean, one of the things about, you know, training is you gotta, you know, when it's time, you gotta have time set aside for some high intensity, high aggressive muscle training. If you don't get that in, it's not going to show up for you in the fight. You know, if I would know now. Back what I what if I know then what I know now, man, I'm just saying it's amazing. There was very little to go on when I started, as far as, you know, comparatively to what these guys are doing now, but just even the similar basic stuff that, you know, there's nothing can make up for the knowledge you have secondhand. You look back and you go, fuck, I could have just, you know, I would have. God damn. When they started doing the single fights and they fucking put a weight class in so I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, the thought of a single fight in a night, just one fight, just go into one fight and just throw it all into one fight. Oh my God, it sounded like a vacation. It sounded so easy comparatively. I was like, oh my God, I can't even believe it. It pissed me off even more. I didn't get a chance to do it, you know? Like, it was just, you know, like fuckers, you know? Like, But it's all good. I got my shot to do it. I got my, and you know, it's a different time. Like the old school stuff will always be its own like niche and time of what originally it was, and you know, it's all good.
You said you got hurt at work. Now, what do you do for a living now that the UFC days are gone?
Well, I've done all kinds of stuff. Right now, I'm currently, like I said, I'm injured, and I'm just trying to work my way to get back my back better. I do a lot of writing. I want to actually do some children's books and some graphic novels.
Mark Hall.
And
huh? Mark Hall write books. Did a book.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, I got his book.
I got to check it out. What's it about?
His life and his beef with Ken Shamrock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually writing like polar bear like storyline one I've done a lot. It's like almost pretty much done is a polar bear and a vulture. It's kind of like a modern mythology slash, you know, it's like modern mythology basically.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so one of these days I'll do the biography thing, but that's not one of my passions right now.
Just don't write about putting hookers in your trunk. That's not as good for you. Mark Hall was talking about that.
That's the Joe Sean angle. That's not me.
Yeah, Mark Hall went there.
Joe Sean or Joe Sean or whatever.
Joe Sean? Joe Sean from chemo with chemo?
Oh yeah, he got arrested. Yeah.
Arrested, dude. He's in prison. Oh, he's dead now. Didn't he commit suicide? Like he got arrested for committing for rape.
Right.
He got thrown in prison for rape and then murdered a motherfucker in prison. That's right. He murdered a guy in prison, so he's gone forever.
Oh yeah, he's done.
He's done.
Wow. Yeah, he's done. I didn't know. I knew he was in prison. I didn't know.
Yeah, he
dead.
Killed somebody in prison. He killed his cellmate, I think.
With a cross?
Yeah, I mean, talk about a guy who fucking just an idiot. I mean, he got more out of the UFC than he ever deserved. I mean, he's got his dick punched in one time in the UFC, and he got to make movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He got to make fucking movies and make money, become like a, and then he fucked it all the fuck up. I mean, talk about a fucking loser, man. I mean, Jesus Christ. Fucking crazy. It's crazy what stupidity will do to you.
I know. It's crazy that he made anything out of that, too. Like, chemo really didn't make anything. Joe San's the guy that did it.
But the Russian guy made movies.
Tatarov,
yeah. He made movies.
Yeah, but he was.
He's done a lot of movies and stuff. He's done real well. And, you know, it's just that it's with as far as Joe San. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Weren't you in a movie? Weren't you in a movie? I think your biography has you listed in a movie.
Yeah, there was clips of me. There was clips of me. It wasn't like I was acting in the movie, but there was clips of the fighting of me in Very Bad Things and The Cable Guy. The Cable Guy, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. You get paid shit for it, but it's kind of cool, you know? I got a lot of exposure. I got a lot of exposures in all kinds of TV show shit, all kinds of, you know. They interviewed me on Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. It was funny as hell.
You know what? Brian Morris is producing the movie. You heard about that movie he's doing, producing? You would make a great bad guy.
You would make a great bad guy.
That's, you know, eventually, yeah, I'm heading down that way. And I did a Nickelodeon show with a friend of mine way back. And yeah, I need to get down south and take advantage of this this crazy big body.
I want to be in the movie. I want to get killed by a legend.
Ray's been trying.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, man, just never know.
Hey, come on, Polar Bear, let's go down there. You could kill me in the scene.
There you go. Where are you guys out of?
Buffalo, New York. Buffalo.
Yeah, I like Buffalo. Buffalo's fun.
Did you have any chicken wings when you was over here for UFC 7?
Nah, but I took home a bunch of strippers.
Oh.
We're so close.
That's some chicken wings.
Yeah.
Actually, they were from Canada.
I was just going to say, all the good strippers are from Canada.
Hey, do you know Charlie Anzon?
Nah.
There goes your whole hookup, Ray.
Oh, he was the manager in UFC, Kevin Rozier manager. And who else? Yeah.
Harold Howard, maybe?
Harold Howard, yeah. Yep.
Do you know Harold?
There was never enough money to pay a manager, man. I mean, there was guys who were like trying to work up that stuff, but it never really panned out. The UFC was always too tight. I mean, the same shit that they're doing now started back then, saying you can't have sponsors and this shit and can't sell your own t-shirts. And it's just bullshit what they're trying to fucking do. I mean, you know, it's everywhere, man. The fucking management on fucking sports is bullshit. The college shit, what they do to the college players, how many hundreds of millions of dollars the NCAA takes in and doesn't do shit for the players. And I just watched a thing on the Olympics, the OEC, the Olympic body. They make fucking hundreds of millions of dollars, and they can pay these athletes, but they don't. They just fucking have this big, huge sports fucking paying millions and millions of dollars for this guy's job and this guy's job, and they ain't doing shit for anybody. They're paying themselves. And it's like the biggest fucking screw in this country right now is fucking non-professional athletes. And then some professional athletes just getting fucking screwed over by these non-profit, they call them. Oh, yeah, they're fucking profiting, right? Just not the athletes, you know?
Definitely not. I've had a big thing against NCAA. They don't even want them to work and stuff. It's like slave labor, pretty much.
No, it is. It fucking is, man. I went through the whole NCAA thing. I went to San Jose State, played football at San Jose State. We actually won a bowl game in 1990, won the California Raisin Bowl. We're 20th in the nation. But as far as, like, what does a scholarship pay for? Scholarship doesn't pay for shit, man. You had to hustle. You had to hustle, man. You had to have a couple girlfriends. You had to have money going on underneath the table with a couple different things. Because, man, you couldn't afford to live, you know?
Sound like you need a nice, rich Asian girl.
Exactly, dude. That's you know, a couple boys always had that. Everything was going on, man. If you look at a college football team, or at least, I don't know, back in the early 90s when I was there, dude, it was it was just crazy what's going on. Like just how guys are getting by and making their money, doing what they got to do. That's the bottom line, man. I mean, you know, you got even if a motherfucker wants to do something and loves it, they're going to figure out a way to do it. You know what I mean? Even if it looks impossible, people with heart, people with drive, they get it done. They figure it out, you know?
Yeah. What do you think about Don Fry?
Oh, man, I love Don Fry. Great guy, man. Great guy. I wish I could have fought him in the UFC 8 where in Puerto Rico, one. I won my first round against Joe Moreira, and I was walking backstage, and fucking I slipped on some ice. The Puerto Ricans were going crazy, man. They're throwing drinks and cans of beer and it was nuts. And I slipped on some ice, sprained my ankle. My ankle swole up. I mean, huge. And I was still going to fight. I was going to fight off my back, you know, like jiu-jitsu style. And the doctors wouldn't let me, man. The UFC was always fucking with me. Always changing the rules. Always, I mean, you know, like, fuck, pissed me off, man. Like, one of the biggest opponents I had in the UFC was the UFC. Those motherfuckers were always changing their shit. Always trying to screw me over. That was nuts, man.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. There was a little bit of a conspiracy about that, too. They're always like, oh, Don Fry always gets the easy fights. People are always ducking him. So I always kind of wondered about
Mark
that.
Mark Call his biggest fan.
Yeah, I always wondered if that was like something that the UFC forced or his management forced, or if that was actually like a real injury, you know?
You know, I wasn't there for that one. But, you know, you know, everything about the UFC while I was there was real. You know, but the STG people, the promotion people, they're always trying to do shit to fuck with it. You know what I mean? They're always bending their fucking rules, fucking with things. But all the fighters fought for real. It was all 110% real fighting. And we were just trying to work our way around the bullshit that was going on with fucking promotion people, you know?
Have you ever thought about putting on your own promotions?
Putting on my own promotion?
Yeah, like just doing your own thing, maybe even like small amateur pro-am level stuff.
No, man, it's, you know, not really my gig. Not really my gig. I'm more creative and wanna do something in the creative realm, you know? Like I'm not really geared for, I mean, you know, if I get involved with Legends of the Cage and they're doing things, I'll definitely help out and chip in, but I don't think I could originate and try to put something together because it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work.
It's a ton of work, but
I'd get involved in something on it, but I wouldn't start it. You know what I'm saying?
You seem so passionate about, like, fighters' rights and paychecks for fighters, and just be something good for you to get into, you know?
Yeah, I know, and that's who needs to head this up and be a part of it. And, you know, it's crazy. It's not like the first time in the world where promoters were just fucking douchebags. I mean, it's kind of the story of the world. But at some point, you know, it gets so fucking obvious that, you know, you can legally fucking come after them. And I think that's where it's at with the new promotion group and where UFC is now. And also they're losing fighters to Invicta and to Bellator, and, you know, because people get paid better. They're getting paid better over there. So, you know, the natural market system is balancing itself out. And ultimately, if the UFC keeps treating people so poorly, they will go for the money and not the event, you know? Because you know what? It really is the fighters that make these events, okay? It's not the name Ultimate Fighting Challenge. It's not UFC that makes MMA great. It's the fighters. It's the fighters and the fans. And, you know, the more competition the UFC has, the more people are going up against them, the better it is for the fighters and the fans. So that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, you and Don Fry would have an awesome podcast. You got the best radio voices. Your voice sounds so good on the radio. I wish I had a good voice.
Do you ever see the fight with Don Fry and that big Japanese guy?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great fucking fight.
The hockey fight in the center of the center of the ring.
Yeah, that was a crazy fight.
You know, and it was crazy, dude. They just bop, 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 bop. I'm like, fuck, dude. It was fun. It's fun to watch, you know?
After three punches, I would have been tired.
Ray's tired after eating one Whopper, not three punches.
It's, you know, there's the thing with when you're fighting, if you don't, like, control your wind and try to keep your mind together, you'll blow yourself up. But as long as you keep in your head, you know, fucking not to breathe more than you can handle, it's amazing how far you can go when you modulate your breath and make sure you're not fucking just blowing yourself out. Like, if you get to a point where you're going for all or nothing, you're going to lose your wind. You're going to lose the fight, because it's never all or nothing. It's be ready to counter, be ready to keep going, you know?
For sure. You got anything else to plug while we got you here?
I'm good. How you guys doing? You good with this?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. This was a great one for us. We're about an hour in, so we're about to cut it off here. But, man, this was a great show. It was good to have you on. And, man, when you get your children's book written and start to get it published, you should come back on. We'll pump the shit out of it.
Right on, man. Cool. Stay in touch.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you for coming on, man. You have a great voice for radio. I appreciate it.
Yeah, he got to have his own. Thanks. He's working on his own podcast.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to plug that because I need his competition.
I hear that, Polar Bear?
It's all good, right, guys?
Yeah, all right. See you, Paul. Thanks. Yep. Bye. I thought you hung up already, Ray. Jesus Christ. No, I'm just kidding. That was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was going to be pretty bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he was good. He spoke a lot better than I thought. And he's got the cool voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could sound like that.
Maybe I could sound like that.
It just sounds tough, dude.
Yeah. We sound like little wimps.
Well, that's because we are little wimps.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm a big wimp.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say little. I'm a big wimp.
Oh, man, Ray. You think you get some cheesy music to get out with?
Okay. Dirty Dancing sounds
good. Yeah, Dirty Dancing. That sounds good.
Nah, we get kicked out of. We get flagging.
Oh, yeah.
Copyrights
on
YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do something that is royalty-free. Royalty-free Mexican music. Try.
All right, from the Fan Doozy Studios. Oh, wait a minute. From the cave of North Buffalo, somewhere in North Buffalo.
Where's Fan Doozy?
We are out of here, guys. Peace.
Oh, my God, Ray. That was full out. I think you broke the internet.
our fans are deaf. Sorry, guys.
Oh, we'll get this shit together sooner or later. What do you think? It wasn't too... I think it sounds better with this mixer than the other mixer.
Yeah, it do.
Yeah. Except we can't get the music. We'll figure out the music.
Yeah.
I'll look up the instructions. I just plugged it in, dude. I don't know much about this shit.
Yeah, we figure it out. We could deal with it. Like in advance, I would put like free Mexican music, whatever music.
Yeah.
And then I'll have it ready for we start. And then,
yeah, and we can. I'll send you the Cat and the Caveman thing, and then we can just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I can just have it all pre.
Or do we got like? Could we use the pre-recording ones from like the other shows?
Yeah, that's what the other thing I was just thinking.
It was the one time I did it real good. We got to use that one.
We get a fucked up one. It's like we do every time.
Yeah.
It's not fair if we do it right.
What the hell, I keep getting, what the hell?
I like, part of the show is how you handle the open, though, to be honest with you. So I don't want to, like, pre-record it.
Right, right. That's true.
That's my favorite part when you mess up. And then, like, the look on your face, like, oh, man, not again.
What the hell I get Frank Doozy from?
I don't know. Stupid Chris.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we're out of here. This is another long, lame Easter egg, but at least it's here.
Yeah.
Sorry about the music.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Right. This is the first time you were in charge of music, and it was fucked up.
Wait a minute. When we were testing the music, guy, it wasn't that loud.
No, I had it turned up so I could hear Paul Varlins.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it was a little quiet over Facebook.
Yeah.
But I kicked it up so we could hear. And, dude, our voice sounds